Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in church on Sunday morning. I tell you what started out just as a one series sermon has turned into 3 weeks, but next week I want to start talking about fishers of men. We're getting ready to do a neat Can It Sunday, and so we're kind of gearing up for that. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But today I want to talk about the resurrection reality. Talked about the coming of the Lord in a way that I haven't for years and years and years last week. Go online, get it, download it, and listen to it, watch it, all that kind of stuff. But today I want to talk about the resurrection reality, and I want to start first of all. It's amazing what you see on TV about heaven, and there's a new show I've not seen it. Maybe it's not out yet. It's called The Good Life. Is it The Good Life? And it's something like that. But it's a lady who dies and goes to heaven, and she, whatever. I've not seen it. Ted Danson. I remember Ted Danson from Cheers. And so I remember, and I saw him. He's on it. And so, maybe we'll watch it. Maybe when I don't know. But anyway, it's amazing what you hear pick up from the culture, what you hear pick up from here and there about the afterlife, and you hear jokes about St. Peter at the pearly gates. Anybody hear those kind of jokes? And sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not. Anyway, what I want to say first of all is in the resurrection, we're not going to be angels someday. Believe me, you will never be an angel. Literally. I mean, when you die, you don't turn into an angel and have a little wing, you have a little halo and float around. No. Angels have a whole nother purpose. They were created long before any of us came around. And so someday when you die, you're not going to get turned into an angel. But I do want to talk about what the scripture is relatively clear about. What does happen when you die? What happens in the resurrection? What kind of bodies we're going to have? I think it's interesting. The Bible is somewhat clear on it. And as I talk this way, it's not about pie in the sky by and by. What I've learned and I've read quite extensively on it, is that people that do have a focus on a world yet to come don't just live in pie in the sky by and don't escape reality of today. But the truth of it is, people who understand of the world yet to come have a better focus on this life. How many of you know when you're doing something, if you know the end in view, you are a whole lot better at staying focused at what you're doing now. And when I talk about the resurrection, it's not some kind of a nirvana or happy hunting grounds or just something you say at memorial services to try to make everybody feel a little nicer. It is the truth and reality of the gospel. And we believe that there's a literal, physical resurrection from the dead. It's not just your spirit and kind of living on in our memories and all that kind of stuff. No. The Bible is very clear. There is a literal, physical resurrection from the dead. Matter of fact, takes me to point number one. Did you like the segue? You know, Pastor, it could have happened about 5 minutes earlier. No, just teasing. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of Christianity. Now, first of all, it's absolutely the cornerstone. The linchpin of Christianity is the resurrection from the dead. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I will start with verses 3 and 4. It says, "For what I received, I passed on to you, as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Now what Christianity is, it celebrates an event, not just a belief system. We have a belief system that goes with that, but Christianity hinges on an event that happened, and that's that Jesus rose from the dead. And so Paul writes to these guys and he says, "Now I'm writing to you of what's most important." Now guys, listen to me. Every Christian believes this, that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again. A lot of Christians believe a lot of other things, but Paul says, "I'm writing to you the most important things." What determines the eternal life? It's the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity is not just the teachings of Jesus. You know, a lot of great people have said a lot of great things, much like Jesus did, but that doesn't make it Christian. So Paul says, "I'm writing to you the things that are just absolutely most important, that Jesus died, he was buried, and that he rose again." I'm on verse 13. "And if there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So the resurrection hinges everything else. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then it's silliness. So not as the only resurrection, something you say around a memorial service, but it's an event. See the teachings of Gandhi, teachings of Buddha, teachings of all kinds of people had nice things to say, but it doesn't make it Christian. And Paul is saying here, without a resurrection, you do not have Christianity. So the issue, the primary issue, guys, is that there is a resurrection from the dead. And whatever else you believe is another story. Number two, Jesus was the first fruits or the prototype of the resurrection from the dead. Now let's talk about first fruits. I'm in verses 20. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But each man in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Now, the first fruits are something you don't see much anymore because everybody buys their seed from the seed place. Monsanto is the place, at least in Canada, where you cannot plant your own seed. If you're going to buy any of their products, you got to buy their seeds too. So my cousins who are wheat farmers and soybean farmers and all that kind of stuff, they have to buy their seed. And this is a day of fortified, energized seed. But in the olden days, like in Bible days, as they would plant their seed, you would have some of the seed that was like super energized seed, hyper energy, that would rise and come to fruitfulness or come to ripen quicker than the other seeds. So as a farmer in the Old Testament would throw the seed out there, some of the seed would rise and it would ripen before the rest of it. So you might have some this tall and some this tall. The ones that were this tall was called the first fruits. Now, according to Old Testament law, they would take those and harvest them first. Now they have million-dollar combines to come in and do it all at one time. But in Bible times, that wasn't the case. So you would go out and take the first fruit, the one that came up first, and harvest it. And actually, that was the part that was supposed to go to God. So you take it to the house of the Lord and that whole thing. But Paul here calls Jesus resurrection, the first fruit. So whatever Jesus was after he rose from the dead, that's what we're going to be. He was the first fruit of the resurrection, and we're going to be like that after we die and after the resurrection comes. So in your little Bible knowledge here, what was Jesus able to do after he rose from the dead that he didn't do before he rose from the dead? Say it again. Yeah. Remember, the disciples were in a locked room. Jesus, it's almost like Star Trek, you know what I'm saying? Jesus just appears, and it just freaked them out. And he said, here I am. And they said, they couldn't believe it. Remember, Jesus would talk to them. Jesus had the capacity to make himself known or not known. These two guys were walking to Emmaus after the resurrection. Jesus joins them, walks along talking, and finally they break for dinner. And Jesus reveals himself to them, and they said, oh, my word, it's the Christ. Mary in the garden was looking for him, and Jesus was standing right there, made himself known to her, or could be hidden. The resurrection body had those kind of capabilities. The resurrected body could talk, could listen, could eat. Remember, Jesus was eating fish after the resurrection? So it's not like this Casper the Friendly Ghost where you just ooze through the atmosphere. No, no, no. The resurrection body is a real body. Jesus was the prototype of that. Jesus was the first one of them. Jesus was the first fruits. You with me still? Number three, God will design and provide for us a completely new body. For completely new bodies. This is my favorite part. It just is. Wait, when we get there, you're going to say, wow, that was my favorite part too. Verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? Haven't you ever wondered that? How does it happen? Has anybody wondered that besides me? And what kind of bodies will they come? With what kind of bodies will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he determined, and to each seed, each kind of seed, he gives his own body. Its own body. So when you, he says, if you ever wonder what kind of body we're going to have, what it's going to be like in the resurrection. In Paul, first of all, he says, first of all, when you plant, you don't plant the flower, you plant the seed. Jamie put the, and they're called tumors. These are called tumors. I used to think they would be called bulbs, but they're called tumors. This is the seed. This is what you plant in the ground. Put the next one up to the tulips. This is what you harvest. You harvest these and you plant, put it back to tumors. You plant these. Can you imagine these tumors sitting around talking to each other? And they say, I hope in the next life they catch me a little slimmer. Or I hope in the next life I'm a little younger. Now, no offense to any of us. That's ugly. I don't care how you count it. Now, some of you people, God bless you and reward you. You were born beautiful. And you certainly are. And you're beautiful regardless of how old you are or how much you might weigh. You know, I found that after we had our first child, I just couldn't lose it again. That's my story, baby, and I'm sticking to it. Now, you wouldn't see these tumors hoping that in the next life, put the tulips up, hoping in the next life they're going to be a better part of. No, they don't even, not even resemble. Not even resemble. It's so cute. And if you believe in aliens, God bless you, go ahead and believe in them. Area 51, it's the people, whatever, in New Mexico. And they found these aliens, and they call them aliens, and they have, just like humans, only funny looking heads and eyes, but it's the concoction out of whatever it is we know. So we think that life in the next world is going to be kind of a concoction or a lot better of us. Remember Jesus said in Revelation, we talked about it last week, he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. It's not just fixing up or getting rid of the trash piles of this world. It's something completely different. Go to the caterpillar. This is a caterpillar. You know what they turn into, don't you? They turn in, put the butterfly up there. Isn't that different? That's the way it is going to be. Not just a prettier you. Go back to the caterpillar. Can you imagine the caterpillar saying, I hope the one that rises from the dead is got my good side. And Paul said, no. He said, you don't plant the flower. You don't plant the wheat head. You plant the seed of what will be. Let's continue to read. Well, let me say this before I go there. See, we see colors now through eyes. And maybe if you're younger, you got better eyes than me, but whatever. We see color now through eyes that have the body with a sentence of death on it. We see colors of tulips growing out of the earth that has been cursed. I think we don't even understand color spectrums. When you're able to look at flowers from a body that does not have the sentence of death on it, from a world that has not been cursed, we think we have color spectrum now. We don't even begin to understand the color spectrum that God has. So we think we see red tulips, and it's cute on the screen back there. The projector just, it won't shine as bright. It's just on the screen back there, on the computer screen, it's much brighter. If we had the tulips up there now, it's just as bright as it can be, because that's how we see things. We see through a glass dimly. We make out like an opaque, when you kind of make out figures and you can kind of tell what's there. But then it's face to face. That's why the best is yet to come. Number four. Our new bodies will bear the image of the eternal. Verse 40. Now look what he says here. There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. Now, heavenly bodies is not just the really good looking ones. That's not what I'm talking about. There is a heavenly body. If we were talking today, it'd be the tulips. And there is an earthly body, and that would be the bulbs or the tumors. Every time I say that, I want to do the Arnold Schwarzenegger tumor. Did he ever say tumor anywhere? Did he? Where? Then that's why it just pops. Every time I read the tumor, and I go into the Schwarzenegger mode, and I think, where'd that come from? They're heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. They're not the same. Well, do we have 10 fingers? It's not the same. It's completely different from a tumor to a tulip. That's how different it is. So he says there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly body is one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. There are people in good shape and exercise and all that, and the splendor of that earthly body, that's great. Boy, that's wonderful. They're all in shape and they're this and that, and that's, there's a splendor of that. But it's not the splendor of the eternal one. It's a different species. It's not just a renovated, fixed up earthly bodies. It is a completely different species. Earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. Verse 42, so it will be in the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. See, the bodies we have now are incredibly fragile, aren't they? The slightest bacteria, microorganism, virus, can just either knock you out or could kill you. The Zika virus is causing so much grief around the world. Just a small amount of virus coming from a mosquito bite. It's not gallons of this stuff. It's microorganism. Because the bodies we have, they're perishable. And you might stay in good shape and all that kind of stuff, and it's good if you do. And you might live and be active in 90, 80, 90, 100, 105, whatever it is you make it to. But they're still perishable. They were not designed to live forever. That's what Paul says. That's because there is a resurrection yet to come. He says they're sown in dishonor. They're sown perishable. They're sown in weakness. Anybody ever been at the bedside of someone who was passing? There's not a lot of strength there. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in honor. It's sown something that this life is so incredibly temporal. That's why we don't put our hope in this life only. There is a world yet to come that we are looking for. Pastor, are you unhappy with this life? Not at all. I always say I don't know anyone more positive than I am, that has more forward thinking and not thinking only, but just anticipation of what this life brings, of relationships. But as good as it is on the way out. It is perishable. And we are looking for that which does not perish. Verse 49, just as we have borne the likeness of earthly man, we will bear the likeness of the eternal one. Say what you want to, but you're eventually going to look like your parents. I tell young men, gentlemen, look at her mother, because it is her. Me and Jeff were out swimming the other day, and Jeff's family. And I'm in the greatest of shape, I want you to know. But my legs don't get much exposure to the sun. And you talk about white, they are almost opaque. And Jeff came walking up, or I came walking up. Joanna turned around, thought it was Jeff. and started to say something to me. She said, "Oh, that's not Jeff." And I said, "Jess, link what you got to look forward to, dear." And you can deny it. You can say it's not true. You can be glad you were adopted. You say whatever you want to. But, dear, someday you're going to look like she does. Kind of. Only you're going to be much nicer and prettier and all that kind of stuff. But we bear the image of the earthly. But then we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. And God is not terribly consumed about how long will my nose be or will my hands be small, big. God is not, we're going to bear the image of the eternal one. Number five, our present bodies can't exist in the new earth that God is going to create. There's a new world coming, and I don't mean just a better one than this one, with the right kind of government, the right kind of flowers and seeds and poppy fields. No. There is a new world that's coming. God's going to create it. This present earth is going to be completely renovated. There will not be any sea left. And God says, I'm going to create heaven on earth. Heaven's like we've talked about in the last couple weeks. It's not this place you fly off to and sit on a cloud and strum a harp. God says, I'm going to take this world and renovate it. And then I'm going to establish my throne on earth like I intended to do from the beginning. Paul goes on to say, and this it's all in 1 Corinthians 15, I tell you this, my brothers, an earthly body made of flesh and blood cannot get into God's kingdom. These perishable bodies of ours are not the right kind to live forever. That's why when the astronauts go into outer space, what do they have to do? They have to put a spacesuit on so that their bodies can live with the atmosphere that they're used to. Without a suit, the people would perish instantly. Because these bodies of ours were designed for planet Earth. They need oxygen. We need water. We need the different nutrients that's in this Earth. The new Earth is not going to be like that. And these bodies cannot survive. You cannot survive in space without a spacesuit. Why? Because the atmosphere there is so different. There's no oxygen there. There's no pressure. It's just not designed for that. Verse 51, but I'm telling you this strange and wonderful secret. We shall not all die, but we all will be given new bodies. It will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For there will be a trumpet blast from the sky, and all the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive with their new bodies that will never die, that will never, never die. And then we who are still alive shall suddenly have new bodies too. It's funny, I've learned this in King James, and when I'm not reading it in King James, it gets confusing. So he says, let me tell you a wonderful thing that's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump of God is going to sound. And all those Christians who have died are going to be resurrected. So he says, we don't sorrow like those who don't have any hope. My mom died almost 4 years ago. Our family was sad. It was sad. We missed grandma. Blah, blah, blah. But we don't sorrow like people that don't have any hope. When our Christian loved ones die, sure, you don't pretend you're not sad. If I fell over dead, I'd want you to be at least a little sad. I mean, just be, dear, you know, I mean, something. Something. It wouldn't have to go on and on, but go on. He said, but we don't sorrow like those that don't have any hope. Why? Because we know that something's coming. There is a literal, physical resurrection from the dead. And this is part of what we believe because Jesus did. And he is the first fruit of millions and billions of people to follow. In that moment, we don't know what it is. See, and when it is, Paul said, we may not even, it may be today. So it's not that you need to die to get a new body, but you, at the resurrection, those that are still alive will have a new body that will never die. And then we will suddenly have new bodies too. Look at verse 53. For our earthly bodies, the ones we live in now, that can die must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish but will live forever. Must be transformed. The transformation process. What is the transformation process? It's death. How do you take water from a liquid to a solid? Wow, it's a miracle. No, you freeze it. Regular old Bill Nye the Science Guy, right? How do you take the water that's liquid and turn it into a gas? You boil it. There's a transformation. How is it that people go from earthly bodies like we all have to eternal bodies, to heavenly bodies? The process of transformation is death. And that's a word everybody hates. They're scared of it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful transformation when this mortal, this perishable, this weak, this sickly, this whatever is transformed into the body that God wants it to have. Death is the process. Number six, these promises give us steady, fruitful, and hopeful anticipation that the best is yet to come. See, these promises, what do? They give you steady, fruitful, hopeful anticipation. This is not pie in the sky by and by. This is not some kind of a Christian dream. These are the realities for all of us who believe. That it does not end with death. There is a new beginning that comes with death, and it's the transformation from dishonor, from perishable, from weak, to that which does not ever, ever die. So Paul says, therefore, my brothers, therefore, based on all of 1 Corinthians 15, he's concluding this section of his book. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain, not in vain. So with all this information, all this stuff that the scripture talks about, so he says, but be steadfast, consistent. Don't be a start and stop person. Fly by night. Steadfast. Immovable. Rock solid. Unchanging. Who's lived long enough to see some wild changes have gone on in our culture? Lived through a few economic downturns or crashes, whatever you want to call them. He said, knowing these things, therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is not the do myself that gets up here on Sunday and does the church thing. The work of the Lord is we grandparents who encourage and support. You parents who are living the life, as it were, with your children. That's the work of the Lord. When you go to your workplace, you're doing the work of the Lord. That's for the mission field that God has placed you. That's where God has put you. It's exactly where He's put you. You're being what He's called you to be. I know sometimes it gets hectic. It can get long and often burdensome. So he says, therefore, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. There is a God in heaven who sees every, even cup of water that's given in His name. Jesus said, if you just give a cup of water to somebody, He's not talking about the great earth-shaking things. He's talking about the small acts of kindness. There's a God who sees it all and rewards. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when's this going to happen? I don't know. What about my loved ones now that have passed on, my mom and dad, for example? What's going on with them? They're with the Lord, the Bible says. I'm not sure how that works out now. And maybe some of you are, and if you are, I'm sure you can tell the people after I'm done. But Paul is relatively clear about what's going to be at the resurrection. And that's what I'm looking for. Because then I will see the one face to face whom I've talked about all my life. Whom I've guessed and imagined what it must be like. But we will stand before him not with the frailty that we have, but with a body that does not wear out and does not fade away. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is seen and rewarded. In your bulletin are next step cards. I hope this has us think differently about how we live. And I'm not looking for life changing and long term and goals and what's your next step. That's why we have these cards in the bulletin. What's your next step? Because when you walk out of here and get in your car, your world's going to go back just like it was before you walked into this building. Hopefully your car is still there and waiting for you. And things at your house are going to be just like you left them. Hopefully. So what is my next step in light of this? Think about it. Pray about it. Write it down. I'm going to give you a chance to fill them out here like Jamie said. But let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these good people that have patiently listened to me. And Lord, we do look forward to that wonderful day when the resurrection from the dead will be made complete. And we look forward to your coming, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Today from 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It was just too long to put it on the screen, so let me read it to you. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. Amen. Amen. Be encouraged. There's a best is yet to come. God bless you. Thanks for coming. I'll see you next week.